Welcome to What the Health, a podcast where we explore the key health issues that are often dismissed. I'm James Jensen, a functional medical practitioner and owner of Hella Health, a holistic clinic focused on treating the root cause of issues rather than the symptoms, by connecting the dots and giving you practical and evidence-based solutions.
And I'm Julie Johnston, one of James's clients, and I also happen to be his PR consultant who, let's be honest, basically strong-armed him into doing this podcast.
So if you've been going around in circles, feeling dismissed and not getting the results you deserve, then you're in the right place.
Because as you always say, James, just because something is common doesn't mean it's normal.
Exactly. So let's drill down to what's really going on.
All right, James, today we have another one of your friends joining us. We have Rebecca Vinson, who is a rehabilitation counsellor and clinical nutritionist who specialises in veteran health. And I'm super interested to delve into this topic today. And my understanding is you and Rebecca have a really great working relationship where she sometimes refers clients your way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, anyone who knows Rebecca knows she's a bit of a pocket rocket, very smart, very clever, very good at what she does. So it's a real privilege to have her here.
Thank Welcome,
you so
Rebecca.
Thank you for having me, guys. This is fun.
So, Rebecca, can you kick us off and tell us a little bit about your credentials and what you do? Because you wear a few different hats.
Yeah. So I guess in terms of training, I'm a clinical nutritionist. I'm also a personal trainer and a remedial therapist, and I did my postgrad in rehabilitation, so I'm a rehab counsellor. What a rehab counsellor is, it's something most people have never heard of before. It's actually an allied health profession, and we work across all biopsychosocial domains. So it's basically, it's kind of like a combination between an OT, a social worker, and a psychologist, I guess, but we don't do the treatment ourselves. We're more about understanding the person, their needs and their goals, and helping them to access services and make lifestyle changes that are moving towards their goals, whatever they are, really.
So really helping get to the root cause, not just sort of like, you know, treating those initial symptoms, you're really helping them make those lifestyle changes.
And that's why I did the course in the first place, because it's about behaviour change. And, you know, as complementary medicine practitioners, we know that you can tell people what they need to do. Doing it is not easy. So that's part of what I do as well, is that actual coaching component and using coaching strategies, psychology techniques and stuff like that to help people actually achieve those lifestyle changes that they need to.
And so, Rebecca, so that sounds like you would be busy enough with just that. But as James did say at the start, you are quite the pocket rocket. And so you've got another business arm as well.
Yeah, so I work my two different roles. I work as a rehabilitation consultant for veterans immediately following their discharge from the ADF. And that's where I really support them to navigate the transition to civilian life. It's a broad role and covers all domains of their well-being. And then I also have a private practice. It's my own clinic and it's called the Hot Mess Studio, where I specialise in functional, integrative and lifestyle psychiatry.
Fantastic. So we've got lots to talk about today, which is super exciting. But let's start with the veteran health, because I think this is such an interesting topic that is rarely spoken about. Can you tell us what are some of the, I guess, symptoms or conditions of your clients that you're working with in this space?
So with veterans, usually what we're coming across, I would say in the majority of the cases that I work with, we've got psychological conditions and we've got persistent pain. So a lot of these people that I'm working with have had long-term injuries that they really haven't had treatment for when they probably should have. So we've got persistent pain and we've got psychological stuff. And then with ex-defence or defence life has a whole lot of other complexities that come with it. So we've got all of that as well. It's generally pretty complex.
Yeah, and we're located, we're recording this podcast here in Townsville, where James's business Hello Health operates from. And, you know, Townsville is very much a garrison city. So we do have a large defence population and a lot of veterans. So I imagine you're very busy. What's kind of, I guess, your ethos into treating these veterans?
So working with veterans, I work under what's called a whole health model. So the whole health model was designed by the US VA, and it's actually like an integrative medicine model. It's amazing. So what the whole health model is, it's got the veteran is located at the centre. So everything that we do is located about what matters to that person. It's not about what the matter. It's not what's it's not about what's the matter with you. It's about what matters to you. And then what we look at around that person is all of their lifestyle factors. So what can they do themselves to actually improve their quality of life despite any injuries or conditions that they have?
And what are some of the recommendations that you're making to them or support services you're reaching out to?
So I guess what I really try and do with the veterans that I work with is education as the starting point. So veterans often have, they've got little understanding of the Australian healthcare system to start with. So they're coming out and they don't know how to access treatment providers. So that's one thing that I do. But I also really like to educate veterans on the underlying drivers of their conditions and why they're experiencing the symptoms that they're experiencing. So things like psychological conditions and persistent pain, they come with a lot of stigma, right? It's stigma from society, it's stigma from self. So these people, they've got a lot of shame. They feel like failures because they've got these symptoms. They don't want them. And they feel like that they're broken or defective, I guess. So that's where functional medicine comes in. It's that real understanding of what is going on from a biochemical or physiological perspective that is resulting in these symptoms. How did that come about? Psychological illness, it's not a choice, right? It's the symptoms are a consequence of biochemical changes that have occurred as a consequence of trauma or long-term chronic stress. Basically. So educating them on that, the changes that happen in the brain and the nervous system is where I really like to start because it brings down that self-stigma that no, it's not a choice. There is nothing wrong with you. This is a normal consequence to chronic stress. And then going, okay, this is where we're at. What can we do about it? When I do the what can we do about it, I'm very broad in my perspective. I'm not anti anything. So we're looking at everything from lifestyle change. There is so much evidence for lifestyle change in managing persistent pain and mental health conditions. Complementary medicines, this is something that a lot of veterans are really interested in. They don't have a lot of access to, so education on that. In my role, I can't prescribe, but that's why I use people like James in the community that can help us out. And even pharmaceuticals, like I'm explaining how they work. We're talking about side effects, like all of that stuff. I guess your doctors have got, what do they got, 15 minutes max. They don't have time, right? So that's really part of my role and then going, what do you want to do and where do you want to start? How do we get it?
And I know you were mentioning before, Rebecca, that sometimes due to the medication that is prescribed to veterans, they then sometimes experience quite significant side effects from that as well.
Look, it's across the board. I don't know, like anyone who's been on psychiatric medications, like I've been on, you know, probably 6 or 8 different ones, their psychiatric medications have nasty side effects. So you're looking at weight gain, fun. We're looking at sexual dysfunction, so loss of like low libido, erectile dysfunction, inability to orgasm, that is across both sexes. So if you're looking at, especially working with veterans, right, you've got these people that you're working with, they're soldiers, they're warriors, you know, this is these side effects for them, a lot of the time it's a deal breaker, you know, it's a deal breaker for most people that I work with, actually, across the whole board. So I guess what I really try and do, like I'm not anti-medication because I love the saying that sometimes you need to medicate to meditate. Sometimes you just have to do it. You have to put one foot in front of the other. When you've moved through to sort of that, I guess, depletion stage of the chronic stress response, you've got low motivation, you've got cognitive dysfunction. So memory's poor, energy levels are poor, planning capacity is poor. So going, right, we want to go for a run or we're going to eat really well is really, really hard. Whereas, you know, if we can use a medication or a complementary medicine, that's where your herbs and your nutraceuticals and stuff coming in, whatever people want to do, to enable a little bit of biochemical change that enables them to actually make those changes, that can be really beneficial. But letting them know that there are things that they can do besides medications that are really, really effective. And it might just be a Band-Aid that then they don't need forever.
And so, James, is this where you come in, I suppose, with some of these referrals from Rebecca in terms of helping with these supplements to be able to sort of get going in a few areas?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the botanicals, so some of the herbs can be really useful for, you know, treating things like anxiety and depression, which is pretty, you know, pretty common in the veteran community. You know, it might be along the lines of thinking that trauma and PTSD is an inflammatory pathway. So it might be about addressing that inflammation. So, you know, we might be looking at things like fish oil, for example. And again, you've got like other just key basic nutrients that we talk about at length. But, you know, if they're vitamin D is low, for example, you know, that makes a massive difference to mood and energy and things like that. So there's definitely a time and a place like Beck's saying for pharmaceuticals. But I guess the goal for most people is most people that I come across, veterans or not, don't really want to be on those types of medications. Some people feel like they need to, but most of the time they're coming with some sort of side effect that they don't really like. And so it's a bit of a transition that it might break that sort of initial cycle of severe crippling anxiety, which enables them to then step into looking after themselves better. If it is about exercising more or eating better, if it's, you know, they just can't sleep, if it means that, you know, they need that hit over the head to start sleeping, which means they can start to put some of these things in place. But I think certainly in that veteran space, and certainly the veterans I've spoken to, this sort of thing that we're talking about is really low-hanging fruit that not many of them know about, that can make significant impacts.
Evidence, James, like your nutraceuticals and your herbs, they're parallel with pharmaceutical medications. There is a lot of them that have been clinically trialled now. The efficacy is good. There's a psychologist over in New Zealand. Her name's Julia Ruckledge. She's like my favourite. Like, I have a serious lady crush on her. And she specialises in nutritional psychiatry, right? So she is in the micronutrient space. So a lot of her research has focused around broad spectrum micronutrients. They're at really quite high doses. And what the reason they've gone down that pathway is, like James will know with me, there's synergistic effects of nutrients. Like, so say if somebody, they read something and they go, oh, zinc's good for my mental health, and they take zinc, but their vitamin D's low, or their iron's low, or their folate's low, you can take all the zinc you want, you're still not going to make serotonin, you know. So there's all of these different things that you need. And the results that they're getting from those studies are fantastic, that she's actually used micronutrients as an early intervention post-trauma to prevent PTSD.
Well, and it's interesting you mention that, because one of our chats this season on the podcast with Dr. Matt, we really delved into, like, he specialises in trauma, yep, and we really delved into that link of, you know, the gut and brain health. And so are you finding that when your patients are being, I guess, treated holistically and looking into the gut health and those supplements and things that James just spoke about, are you finding that then from, I guess, a mental health point of view and counselling point of view, you're able to then start getting those next stepping stones because you're getting the body prepared that it can actually function?
Definitely. Like, I would say, you know, going into a little bit of gut health, it's so universal that when people have psychological conditions that their guts are not good, right? So they're not absorbing things. And then in terms of their ability to actually make neurotransmitters, have energy, have cognitive function, it's not there. So then if you actually go in, like, my approach is always, I want to look first. Bloods come first for me. Obviously can't do that with veterans. That is not my role in my private practice. I want to see your bloods. It doesn't need to be fancy. It needs to be standard. There's a lot that we can tell from a standard blood test that a GP will order about the state of your psychological well-being, in terms of inflammatory markers, micronutrients required for neurotransmitters. If there is anything funky happening there, that's where we want to start. We want to hit those drivers. So I start there, and then you've obviously got your symptom management as well. And do you know, like, how many people do you get where you're just like, dude, you're iron deficient? Like, it's not that... It's
James,
nothing
you see
serious.
This all the time, don't you? Mm.
It's not that... It's nothing big, but it's just... It's little things like your folate is 8. Mm. Like, your medication won't even work. If you take a medication, it's not going to work if it's 8. Like, it's such simple stuff. And then, or even a big one is electrolytes. In terms of the chronic stress response and the impact on electrolyte balance in the body. And if your electrolytes are low, it's like having a low battery. Nothing works. You can't think. You can't function. And just even doing that, people can go, oh, I feel so much better. And I'm like, so are you really mentally unwell, or are you just iron deficient? It's not that, you know what I mean? It's quite simple a lot of the time.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah, I like the fact you mentioned electrolytes, because I often explain to people, you know, if you don't have the right chemical charge, because all our cells communicate via chemical charge, it's how cells take things in and how they get rid of things. So if your electrolytes aren't right, nothing, you know, it doesn't matter what intervention you throw at that person, it just won't work.
It's not going to work. Mm. And yeah, it's... And it's so common, like the amount of people. And I did do a bit of research at one stage. I'm like, is this a Townsville thing? Like, because we're in North Queensland, is low sodium, is it a Townsville thing? Like, I know it's a chronic stress thing, right? But, yeah, I don't know. It's definitely common. Mm-hmm. And I think now there's a lot of people, and this comes up in the veteran space as well, right? There's so many gurus. So dietary restriction is the norm, and it's the goal for a lot of people, right? Like, they're like, old mate over there, he's doing this, he's ripped. But just because you're ripped, it doesn't mean that you're healthy. So for veterans, one thing that I find, and because I used to work in a gym, is when they're being really, really rigid around eating to stay ripped, there can be deficiency. Like, that's not uncommon, because they're really restricting things like, you know, like they might be having, I used to see people when I worked in a gym, they'd be having chicken and broccoli every day for 12 weeks. And I'm like, where's the capsicum? Like, yeah. Do we not have a mushroom? Like, what happened to mushrooms? Like, why broccoli? Like, I don't get it. But that is not sustainable. And I think this whole thing of, it's all about what you look like on the outside rather than how you feel on the inside. And that can be, I think, that can also make veterans vulnerable in terms of fads. And then they're going through this whole restrictive process, which is making things worse as well sometimes too.
So, Beck, let's chat a little bit about the chronic pain side of things, because I know that this is something that you deal with a lot with the veterans, and, you know, and I know there's other people out there that suffer from chronic pain. Can you explain to us what chronic pain is and what that can look like, and how, I guess, isolating and debilitating that is for people who suffer from it?
So persistent pain or chronic pain is defined as pain that sort of goes on for more than about 3 months duration. It's really pain that is still perceived or felt despite tissue injury at the site of pain no longer being present, right? So from if you were going to look under a microscope at where the pain's coming from, you're not going to see any damage still happening. So it kind of is pain that doesn't make sense. It does make sense. So, but we'll get to that later. So an example which people find quite tangible and able to understand is a lot of people have heard of phantom limb pain.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody loses a limb, they can still feel pain in their foot, and the foot is not there, right? I find the big thing with persistent pain in this respect is that, again, stigma, right? Like people... How many veterans that I work with, they've gone to pain education courses, and the pain education courses are really good, but what they say at the start of it is pain is in your brain, right? Or in, and then they go, it's all in my head. They think I'm faking it, blah, 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 right? So they tap out, and I'm like, that is not true. That's, it's, persistent pain is real, right? It can be felt, and it results from adaptation of the nervous system. It's exactly the same adaptation of the nervous system in the brain that occurs in chronic stress, that is the cause of psychological symptoms and emotional dysregulation. So pain is, it's part of our alarm system. So it tells, it's something that the body does as part of the stress response system to say, alert, this is danger, okay? So what's happening with persistent pain is that the alert is still being fired even though the tissue injury isn't there. And that's because with persistent stress or persistent pain, pain is a stressor, the body adapts to do stress better. So our body's really cool, right? So if you go to the gym and you pump your biceps are going to grow. It's pretty cool. So it's the same with your stress response. If you pump your stress response, your body gets better at generating a stress response. It's faster, it's harder, and it's more intense. So that's what happens. Like, I guess the hard bit is when you think about phantom limb pain, you can see that there's something there and you can go, you can feel that, but the limb's not there. Whereas if they've still got their lower back, it's harder to get your head around until they started imaging the brain and they can see it.
And so is this in the brain particularly persistent or prevalent in veterans because of the stressful situations they've been exposed to throughout their career?
That's one component, definitely. So whenever pain is associated with trauma or stress, it's going to be harder to turn that off because when the body has any, I guess, any reminder of anything that happened around then, the stress response is activated automatically. That's part of learning, right? So pain will be activated if you hear a loud noise. Does that make sense? But what was I going to say? what did you say?
About if due to their stressful career.
Yeah. So the other component of it is that when you've got to understand that when you're in the ADF, there's medical standards that you have to meet to keep your job and to be deployable, right? So they're having medical assessments at specific periods to confirm that they're still meeting those medical standards. And there is a limited amount of time that you're able to not be at that level of fitness before they say you're not fit for duty and you're out, okay? There's also the component of, with defence, there's that structured rank system. So there's a process that's followed and courses that need to be taken to be able to progress up those ranks. So if you have any injury, illness, I don't know, family issue, like anything that disrupts your ability to be deployable or your ability to do your job, every component of your job, or do promotion courses, you're at risk of, one, not promoting, so your career's at risk, and two, of being discharged. So ain't no one going to the doctor. So another big component of it is with any kind of mental health or pain, we want early intervention. Better, we want prevention, right? We want skills to be learnt before it happens. Like, ideally, I would love to see in defence prehab in terms of teaching cognitive behaviour therapy skills, ACT skills, the impact of nutrition on mental health before trauma exposure, right? So there isn't that stigma with getting treatment because you've already have it without having an illness. So what we get by the time they get, it can often be crisis point by the time they're actually getting treatment. Mm. By which stage, like I've worked with veterans who have been carrying persistent pain for 20 years. They've wow. been psychologically unwell for 10, 15 years and they're pushing it down. Like, we're going to push that down. Coping strategies are generally, I will keep going and I'm going to prove there's nothing wrong with me, number one, or I'm going to do something that's going to stop this feeling, which can be alcohol consumption, stuff like that. So by the time they're actually getting treatment or the time that they're discharged, those neuroplastic changes that occur, they've hardcore occurred, and maladaptive coping strategies are really embedded. And then there's the component of stigma when it's a condition you can't see. So persistent pain, if you can't see that there's anything wrong with your leg, there's also that stigma from peers. If you're not doing your job, you're not pulling your weight. So it's just so complex that all of that stuff is affecting their experience of psychological illness and their experience of pain. Yeah, it's a lot. And then, you know, families break down, like, everything goes to shit. Like, yeah. It's really hard. Yeah, and I think, I guess as part of my role, my biggest thing is just I want them to know that this is not a character flaw. This is biology. That's what it is. They are not defective, and there's something you can do about it.
And so, James, from your point of view with persistent pain, what are you seeing in clinic and how are you helping treat that from that holistic perspective?
Yeah, so I think, I think about it, you know, from an inflammation point of view. So like Beck was saying, there's often like the initial injury where people feel something, but, you know, for example, if their diet is quite inflammatory, that's going to feed that inflammatory cascade and cycle. It's going to delay, you know, healing and repair. For example, if their gut is not right, so if they're, you know, it can be as simple as they're not absorbing the nutrients they need to start to heal, or if their gut's chronically inflamed and, you know, leaky gut, things like that, that means that the immune system is always on. So it's definitely going to feed that inflammation. And I like to think of it like once you've got an injury, it's kind of like a little flag that's on that injured area. So the body knows about it, it's put a little flag on it. And I think a good example that people can relate to that is those people that when it's going to rain, they go, oh, must be going to rain in the next 24 hours, 48 hours, my knee's really aching. So it's like, well, what's going on there? So the body obviously has a little memory or a cellular memory about where there's been an injury. And so if the body is triggered with inflammation, whether it be, you know, poor diet or nutrient deficiencies or the gut's not quite right, the body goes into attack mode and it starts to feed and feed that inflammation where there might be an existing injury. So other than, you know, the things like, you know, exercise and all those types of things. And I try not to just band-aid it with using like natural anti-inflammatories and things like that. I mean, that can be useful. You know, for example, if they're, you know, they're being prescribed anti-inflammatories, you know, we know that that's not great for their gut and that's going to increase leaky gut. So that's going to be a bit of a handbrake. So it's like the problem, well, the treatment for the problem also creates more of the problem. So we might switch them over to something that's in that's anti-inflammatory but less corrosive on their gut. So we'll do things like that, but certainly we'll be looking at all the basics like, you know, zinc and vitamin D levels. You know, is there low-hanging fruit there? I can't tell you how many times I've seen people with chronic pain and we just fix their vitamin D and they're like, oh, geez. Is that all it was?
Yeah, and it's that persistent inflammatory response. That's what's driving the change in the brain, right? So it's all of those things. So when we're looking at what can we do about it, we want to look at everything that is activating the body's stress response, right? Because there's things you can change and there's things that you can't change. So like if you've got two kids at home, life's hectic, you can't get rid of your kids. Like that one's like not doable. But you can make changes to your diet. You can work on your gut repair. You can make sure that you don't have dysbiosis. You can make sure you're getting antioxidants. You know, like it's the addressing everything that you can. If you're overweight, you've got blood sugar imbalances, you find the things that are contributing to that inflammatory response and triggering the stress response, because all of those things, pH imbalance, insulin resistance, they're actually stressors. So they actually continue to drive that stress response. So we want to address any stressor that we can find so there's less load, I guess, on the stress system.
Mm, it's like instead of thinking of it like a car, it's like, oh, just needs a new battery, replace the battery, or this part's broken, just put a new part in. It's looking at all the things that are relating to that. Yeah, so that's, I think, like holistic management of pain is crucial, especially because there's such a strong connection between trauma and mental health as well with chronic pain, and the two feed each other a lot, don't they?
It's exactly the same, because it's the same change in the brain, basically. And they do. Like if you're in pain all the time, you can't do the things that you like to do, right? So you can't socialise. We know meaningful social connection causes oxytocin secretion. Oxytocin brings down cortisol. So they're not socialising. They're not going out doing things that they enjoy. They're not getting those highs from having fun. Exercise, they're having trouble exercising. We know exercise is good for blood glucose management, right? It produces endorphins. Endorphins help with pain. They're not getting that. They're fighting with their partners. More stress. So it affects every single aspect
it's
of their
so
life.
It's so interlinked.
It is so interlinked. And then, you know, when that pain comes up, like I've had a lot of one guy specifically I worked with, and this is pretty common with veterans, like they've all got lawns, right, and they want to mow their lawns, like, yeah. And I'm like, dude, you've only got so much capacity. Like we talk about pacing, right? When you've got persistent pain, you want to be doing stuff because doing nothing makes it worse. Doing too much makes it worse. You've got to find the mid ground, right? So if you've got a limited capacity and you're spending that capacity mowing your lawn and then you can't walk for 3 days and then you get shitty and yell at your partner and you're not very nice to your kids, and I'm like, maybe we just outsource the mowing and maybe you can use that limited capacity to, I don't know, hang out with your kids.
Yeah, or take the kids for a walk at the park. So you're still out, you know. And yeah. I understand for some people mowing the lawn is
totally
such a therapy for them.
Yeah.
But to your point, using that time for family time and creating that happiness.
So a lot of it is really about, I like acceptance and commitment therapy because it's about identifying what matters to you. Mm. So we can sit down and go, right, so in your life, what matters most to you, okay? And most people will say my kids, my family. And it's like, okay, so what we want to do is make sure that we're able to do the stuff that matters most.
So if you've got limited capacity, you do those things first. And then what's left over,
that's
you mow the lawn
approach.
If you can. I think that's a great approach.
Mm. Because I'm kind of like especially with veterans, there are services to help. If they've got a lot of physical injuries, we can get household services for them or we can apply for it. So we can get support to do those things. And a lot of them are like, but I don't need it. And I'm like, I get that. I know that you can do it. But doing that, the consequences of that are impacting on your family life. They're impacting on you being able to participate in evidence-based treatment like hydrotherapy, exercise physiology. Whereas we want to prioritise things that have a positive effect on your wellbeing. Mm. And that usually centres around the things that are most important to people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So have you got some, I guess, examples of patients that you've worked with where you've really applied these holistic strategies, you know, they've perhaps come and seen someone like James for some supplements or nutritional support. Have you got some, I guess, case studies that really bring together all this that we've been talking about and show us, you know, some of those results?
I've got some funny ones, to be honest. Like this one isn't about persistent pain, but this gives you an idea of, the unique needs of veterans, right? So I had this one guy that I worked with. He was so cool. Anyway, when he was in defence, this whole thing, we're not going to the doctor because we're not going to be downgraded. We want to be deployable. So he was travelling by ambulance about once a week to Townsville Hospital because he thought he was having heart attacks, right? So he'd go there, they'd check him out, they'd bring him home. Did he go to the RA, to the med centre the next day and tell them? Nope, he just went to work and he kept working. It was reflux, like... anyway, and so he had his reflux was that bad that he was going to the hospital, right? So I got him, when he got out, I sort of explained things that you can do to manage reflux. You don't have to take a PPI. Like sometimes you have to if you've got like anatomical stuff that's contributing. But we were talking about like this, and this is another thing with defence people, because they're working, like they eat food, like it's down the hole and it's going fast, right? So I got him to the gut health dietitian, and she worked with him on dietary strategies to manage reflux. Boom. Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm. Instant
Amazing.
Difference.
Yep. Like, so, like that is, again, it's tiny, right? That is not a big thing. It was that simple.
Simple but life-changing.
simple but life-changing. So that was one. The other things that are really, really, really common is people having been on a proton pump inhibitor for 10 years plus. They're pumping Nurofen to manage pain and then their gut's destroyed, so they're on a proton pump inhibitor, so they're not absorbing anything.
Can you explain what a proton pump inhibitor is?
So it's a medication that you prescribed for acid reflux. And like Nurofen, for example, James was talking about it before, it's an anti-inflammatory, but the side effect of Nurofen is it actually causes stomach ulcers, okay? So because you get reflux when you take it all the time, you get given a reflux medication to reduce the stomach acid so you can't feel the burn, okay? Unfortunately, stomach acid is totally crucial for digestion. Like, it starts the digestive process to start with, but it's also what happens in the stomach triggers the commencement of all of the rest of the digestive processes that happen downstream. So when you mess with the stomach, you're messing with everything. So that is super common. And even coming out and going, okay, have you had a scope? Have you been tested for Helicobacter? Like all of that, you need to look at this stuff. And what else can we do for pain management? So maybe you can stop pumping Nurofen and not need to take this, and then you won't need a reflux medication. Then you're going to absorb your nutrients and, like, yeah. And even just a lot of it is as simple as working with them to overcome barriers to implement standard lifestyle stuff that's really helpful in managing pain. In terms of the actual getting the complementary medicines to people, it's actually really hard because it's not covered for them. And I can't give it, but yeah, I guess that's why I've sent a few people over to James. I'm like, I need someone to help them.
Yeah, amazing. And let's touch on, I know you're very passionate about women's health, and in your own private business, the Hot Mess Studio, you work with a lot of, women's hormonal health and things like that. I'm just curious, we touched on earlier about the extra stress that a lot of veterans face in their career. Do you find that female veterans or serving defence members, are they experiencing more hormonal issues because of that exacerbated stress?
That's actually a really good question, and I totally had not even contemplated that, but yes. female veterans is another whole, like, it's another whole story, like, and a very undercated story. Like, I feel like there's a lot of services out there for veterans. Like, there's a lot of community organisations. There's no services specifically just for women. I did apply for a grant earlier this year to see if I could kick off a lifestyle medicine program specifically for female veterans, and unfortunately I didn't get it, which is a bit sad. But now that I think about it, there is most of the women that I work with who are veterans have had hormonal issues, yes. Mm. And that makes perfect sense again, right? Like, given the role of the stress response system in managing hormonal cycles, and even like everyone's got gut issues. Like, I've had another lady who had a bit of a menti bee. Like, we've all had a few menti bees, it's okay.
Sorry, what's menti bee?
Mental breakdown. You know, when you combine parenting, like, there's that other whole dimension of having that role in defense where you are not only a soldier, but you're a mother. Mm. Like, that is, it's tough, right? Anyway, this lady had a lot of gastrointestinal symptoms. I think they were probably the side effect of a psychiatric medication that she was on to start with. And turns out, like, she had it was a bit of a crisis. We have crises. When they did some tests, she was like, her B12 was in the toilet. And I'm like, no wonder you lost your shit. Like, that'll do it. Like, she was so tired. And she went into the hospital for a little while. I think she slept for 3 weeks.
James, is this consistent with what you're seeing in clinic with females serving in the Defence Force or veterans?
Yeah, well, I think definitely, you know, even simple things like when you know, high cortisol, you know, when it's being detoxed from the body will prioritize that over, you know, estrogen detoxification. It will suppress progesterone. So, yeah, I mean, not just veterans, but you'll certainly see anyone with high cortisol is going to have, you know, suppression of testosterone, likely excess estrogen or some sort of estrogen maladaptation, usually low progesterone. So there's a massive crossover there. And, you know, again, when we're looking at all those things holistically, if we're, you know, if it is about like lowering stress hormones, you'll often see like a better improvement in their sex hormone balance. So it's like we've said at length, you know, it's all about peeling everything back, getting to the, you know, the root cause, the basics, getting the foundations right, you know, correcting nutritional deficiencies, because what might manifest as a mental breakdown, you know, that trigger or that, you know, I guess how likely that was to happen might have been severely influenced by something like B12 deficiency, which does help with myelination of nerve endings and, you know, methylation, which has a massive impact on mental health. So, you know, just simple things like, you know, checking those basic nutrient levels can definitely make people's bodies a lot more resilient. And then so when they are faced with adversity, it's not going to snap.
Yeah, and I guess that's in terms of my private practice. Like I don't specialise in hormonal health. I specialise in mental health. So do we look at hormones? Of course we do. You know, like we look at everything, and hormones cycle with neurotransmitters across the menstrual cycle. Like they influence each other. They're intertwined. It's the same as everything in the body. You can't separate it. It's all one. Everything's related. So you can't move one thing and not move something else. So do we look at it? Absolutely. We're looking at everything. And even, you know, gut health and hormonal health. It's phase three detoxification, microbiome, gut. If you're not passing stool, you're not transporting detoxified estrogen out of your body. Like, yeah, it's the whole body and everything around it. It's big.
So, Rebecca, to start to wrap us up for this episode, what would you like to say to veterans or serving defence personnel out there about their health?
I guess the biggest things for me is learn. You know, you want to understand why. That's my biggest thing, because with anybody that has mental illness or, you know, even psychological symptoms, there is so much self-stigma. And I think for me, one of the biggest things that has helped is understanding that it's not a flaw, it's biochemical, and there's stuff that you can do about it. I think that's it's crucial. The other thing is just be honest, dude. Like, over, and again, that's really hard. But do you guys do Brené Brown? Do you know Brené
Brown?
Yes,
so big fan.
Like, you know, vulnerability is not weakness, okay? It's crucial. It's crucial for connection. It's crucial for courage. You know, they're all about courage, but there's no courage without vulnerability, right? And over 40, like it's something like 44% of our population will experience mental illness in their lifetime, right? And that's just the people who admit it. Mm. So you're not special. It's everybody, right? So when somebody says me too, I feel like they are some of the most powerful words in our language. So if you speak up, it's likely somebody next to you is going to be right there with you. Like I worked with one lady and she worked at a school and she burst into tears in a staff meeting, right? And then she said something about she was going through menopause, right? And then she had like all of this chronic, her menopause experience was horrific because she had so much stuff going on. Anyway, everybody else came to the party then, didn't they? They're like, oh, tell me about it. Like when you say it out loud, there's going to be somebody else that's going to say, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that. And that goes for guys and girls, right? If they're not saying they're experiencing it, they probably are. So they're my biggest things, because the more that you, I guess, a really big thing is if you are saying, I'm not going to talk about this or get treatment because that's weakness, you're kind of saying that everybody who does talk about it or get treatment is weak, right? So I'm kind of like, think about that for a minute and go, do you believe that? Do you believe that everybody who talks about it or gets treatment is weak? If the answer is no, then why are we saying the same thing to ourselves?
Yeah. And I think you touched on it earlier that it's very much a workforce where they're conditioned that they can't be as open and honest as some of the things
Definitely.
They're experiencing for fear of, that hurting their career. So I think, obviously we would love to see that changing, but certainly for those that have exited the Defence Force, that there are support services like yourself, like James, lots of other practitioners, and to reach out.
It's Townsville. You know, the amount of people, when you say, I've got a veteran that needs help, that are going to go, I'm there, it's amazing. Like, we're really lucky in that respect. There's a lot of us out there that we're going to do what we can, basically.
Yeah. And, Rebecca, I think your absolute passion and dedication and your wealth of knowledge shines through. So I think the veterans in Townsville who are lucky enough to work alongside you, it's absolutely fabulous, and I'm sure you're doing some really great things for their healthcare. So thank you for joining us today. And James, I think it's probably worth us acknowledging and thanking the, serving Defence Force personnel and veterans for what they do for our country, and acknowledging that sometimes because of their service, they can have a bit of a tough time of it, and to reach out for support.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again to everyone that's served, and we've actually had the pleasure of employing some ex-defence members as well, and they've been great people. And it's very, very fortunate to have them. And yeah, as we're talking about, there's many ways to help these people that are suffering, that normally have been so tough and so strong that they are vulnerable and they do need some help. So don't be afraid to reach out and I guess collect some of the low-hanging fruit that could be there, because sometimes it's made into a big, complicated mess that it doesn't have to be. So, we've got countless examples of it's a matter of just fixing someone's gut or getting their diet better or correcting a nutritional deficiency, which can make a massive difference to their well-being and the people around them. So, look at the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, so I hope some of our listeners have, that this episode has helped some of our listeners. And even if you're not a veteran yourself, that it's helped. I know for me, I have learnt a lot today, and it's really helped me understand some of the things that our defence personnel and veterans might be experiencing. So, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a fabulous chat.
Yeah, thanks,
Beck. Thank you, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of What the Health. If you want to keep hearing more, follow us on the Apple Podcast app, where you'll be notified every week when we drop a new episode.
And if you love the show and want to support us, feel free to share this podcast with your friends and family, or go and leave us a review.
Yes, please help us make Julie's life easier when she's trying to market this podcast.
Of course, it would be remiss of me not to mention that you can go book a consultation in person or online with James to discuss all your health concerns. Head on over to www.hellohealth.au. Plus, you'll get free postage on any products you purchase.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.